पत्रं पुष्पं मन्त्रं सोमे भक्त्य प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्तिपारिसं अश्नामि प्रयतत मुनः. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Report. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent, blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy, and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor, without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter whether one is or does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one therefore can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a brahmana, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The whole process is eternal. It is direct action and service to the absolute goal. There's more to the commentary, but we'll stop here for now. Om Agyane Timanandasya Vinanjana Salakaya Saksha Unmanitamim Sasma Shri Guru Vinamaha Ukam Karoti Vacharam Pangam Nangai Te Garim Yatki Patamaha Vande Shri Guru Vinatanam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutulai Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gurvan Pacharani Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastu Chate Satarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary, he can tell he's really reaching out and encouraging that anybody can achieve perfection in life. Anyone can be a devotee of the Lord. There is no material qualification. Even the poorest of the poor, as he said, can achieve the perfectional stage of life, which he describes as achieving a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. He describes that as the perfectional stage. The only qualification is that one has bhakti. Of course, we may think it's a very difficult qualification to obtain. Bhakti, previously, it's been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the subject and matter of bhakti was very difficult for even to understand what to speak of obtaining. But due to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in this age of Kali, he has made bhakti very accessible. So Krishna is stating here in the Bhagavad Gita that all you have to do is if you offer me even a leaf, a flower, fruit, and water. Krishna's taken something which to any person is maybe seem to be very inconsequential. A small leaf, a little water. Everyone has access to these things. And he's saying that I can be pleased by this offering. But how is it that Krishna is pleased? The ingredient, magic ingredient that has to be mixed into the offering is offered with love. Prabhupada used to give the example of the father receiving an offering of candy from the child. The father has given the child some small amount of money for his allowance. The child goes out and purchases some candy for himself and then decides, let me give it to my father. The father is very, very eager to accept. The father doesn't need the candy. He's not hankering for it. In fact, for him, the candy in of itself is not really something of great importance to him. But the fact that his child offered it to him makes it very pleasant. Because of the offering, the child has taken that which was given by the father and he's offering it back to the father, saying, here, father, here's some candy. He's converted that which the father has given and he's made it back into an offering to the Lord, to the Father. In the same way, Krishna does not require anything. Krishna is self-sufficient. He says, Etadyo nini bhutani savahichipadhariya ahunkrishna sutavata prabhava palayasata. All that is spiritual, all that is material, you know, should know for certain I am both its origin and its solution. Krishna gives so much evidence in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Aham sabhasu prabhava mataksava prabhartate iti matva bhajatema mudabhava samandata. I am the source of material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotional service. In other words, Krishna is saying that it all belongs to me anyways. Everything is coming from me. The entire cosmic manifestation, all the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation, they're all emanating from Krishna. And Krishna is so potent that Krishna can create unlimited universes without us having even to be personally involved. As he also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no work that affects you, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. And anyone, namam kramani limpanti namu kami pale spiha sittimam yogi janati karma bhirnasa bhagyate. There's no work. He says, I don't have to do any work. If Krishna wants to create, Krishna doesn't have to go to Home Depot and get all his lumber and supplies. Krishna does it. They're all accessible to him very easily. Everything is simply manifested simply by his breathing. Unlimited universes are coming out from the pores of one of his expansions, Mahavishnu. Krishna has different expansions. They're called Purusha avatars. These Purusha avatars are expansions. They're all coming from Krishna, who is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete chankapala puksa krishnastu bhagavan svayam. Indrari vyapalam lokam vidyanti yuge yuge. All these different expansions, including the Purusha avatars, they get the plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the example that is given, just like there may be many candles, and so many other candles may be lit, and they may all have the same candle potency, but still there is the original candle that is lit all the other candles. In the same way, that original form of Krishna, Svayamrupa Bhagavan, Krishna, who is manifested with two hands, two arms, holding a flute with reddish luster in his eyes and his palate and his hands and his feet. This form of Krishna and Shyama Sundar, he is actually the original Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom unlimited universes are all emanating. But Krishna himself doesn't even have to become involved in that creation. He does accept it through his different energies, as explained in the Puranas. Just as the sun is situated in one place and it spreads its energy and over the entire universe, in the same way, Krishna is situated in one place in the Loka Vrindavan, but he spreads his energies throughout the entire creation, both material and spiritual creation. It is all going on, and Krishna doesn't have to personally become involved. But still, everything is coming from him. Everything is coming from that original supreme, from that original body of the Lord, including all the different. Krishna says, "Aham Adhyayi Devanam," all the demigods, they're all manifestations, they're coming from me. The material and spiritual world, all living entities. He says, "Aham Bija Pata Pita," I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. Everything is coming from Krishna. So how is Krishna in need of anything? Why would he even ask for something? Prahlada Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he gives the example in the form of analogy. He says that when a person decorates his face in the mirror, and I'm sure many people have had this experience, especially women, and you're standing in the mirror putting on your makeup, cosmetics. When you decorate your face in the mirror, you don't have to decorate the reflection. It automatically takes place. So Prahlada Maharaj gives this example. He says, similarly, when you offer something to Krishna, you don't have to worry about taking care of the reflection or yourself. Automatically, we benefit. Krishna doesn't benefit. Krishna doesn't need anything. But we benefit. Why? We benefit because we're making the offering with love. And that little ingredient of love, when reposed upon the supreme, most worshipful object of love, Krishna, then the result is that that love that is there within our hearts becomes so completely fulfilled, because there's no better object of worship than Krishna. Because Krishna, whatever one offers to the Lord, he's very eager to accept it because of the ingredient of love. Sometimes it's very hard to please somebody. In fact, many times we may have this experience. Maybe over many years we've made endeavors to try to satisfy somebody. We've given so much, and then still, despite so much effort to please them, you know, we can't fully satisfy them. But yet Krishna, he can be pleased just simply by the attitude. He doesn't care about the external offering. Here's one little, there's a pastime in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvipa, one great Vaishnava, Ishwar Puri, every day he used to read from his book, Krishna Lilamrita, Pastimes of Lord Krishna. He would read to one devotee, Gadadhar Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya, every day he would go and he would read. Ishwar Puri at that time did not know Lord Chaitanya's divinity. He just accepted him as a very learned scholar. And he would ask Lord Chaitanya, he says, "You've been listening, you've been coming listening every day. And certainly, because you're such an expert scholar and grammarian and knows philosophy so well, you must find some fault in my work. Please, tell me some little fault that you've seen." And Lord Chaitanya, he told him, he said, "No, any devotee of the Lord who composes words and offering to the Lord, there are always, those words are all perfect. And who would be that simple rascal to find something wrong with the words of the devotee? So whatever the devotee offers, offer it in love, then they're perfect and they're accepted." And he quoted one verse, if I can remember. It's Murko Vadati Vishnaya, Niro Vadati Vishnave, Ubayos Tu Samam Punyam, Bhava Kahi Janayam. In this verse, it states, Lord Chaitanya is saying to Ishwar Puri, Murko, a fool, he may say the words Vishnaya, which is improper grammar. And Viro, or a Brahmin, he may say the word Vishnave, which is the proper grammatical usage. He said, but both, because Krishna is Bhava Grahi, Jananana, means he accepts the essence of a person's offering, he accepts the heart. That's what he sees. And even though a fool may pronounce improperly prayers offering Vishnave or Vishnaya Namaha, which is improper, still the Lord is very eager to accept because he understands the heart. So Krishna is Bhava Grahi. Bhava Grahi means he accepts the essence of the person's attitude. And if the attitude is that one is trying to do something with love, the Lord is very eager to accept. Just like we were just today, we often give this example, it's a very simple example, but just today we were having a discussion in somebody's home, and one person was asking a question. He says, can somebody still please Krishna even if he doesn't study the scriptures or can't study the scriptures? And I told him the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Brahmana. The Brahmana who was given an instruction by his spiritual master that every day he must study Bhagavad Gita. And this Brahmana was illiterate. So every day he would sit with Bhagavad Gita and he would hold it. Sometimes like this. Upside down. Because he didn't know what was upside down, right side up. And looking at Bhagavad Gita. He was illiterate. He couldn't read anything. But he would sit there. And sometimes people would go by and they would see the Brahmana sitting and just trying to read Bhagavad Gita. And they would mock him, make fun of him, laugh at him. Just look at this so-called Brahmana. You know, thinks he's studying Bhagavad Gita. He can't even hold the right side up. And Lord Chaitanya came by that Brahmana. And while looking at the Brahmana, he asked him, "What are you doing?" And the Brahmana said, "I have been given an order by my spiritual master. Every day I must read Bhagavad Gita. So therefore every day I sit in this place and I hold Bhagavad Gita and I simply try to read the Bhagavad Gita. But I'm illiterate, I do not know how to read. But I have faith that my spiritual master has a reason for asking me to do this. Therefore every day I sit and I look at Bhagavad Gita." So he's very faithful devotee of the Lord. He had faith in the words of his spiritual master. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and he said, "I see, Brahmana, I see there are tears in your eyes. You're crying. Why are you crying?" Well, maybe he was crying because of all the constant insults that were being hurled at him. But the Brahmana said, "No, I'm looking at this picture here. I'm seeing Krishna and Arjuna. And I'm seeing how Krishna, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Yet, he is driving Arjuna's chariot. And Arjuna, he is commanding him. Now pull my chariot between both armies so I can see who is desirous of fighting. And Krishna is executing his order, although he's the supreme being. When I see this picture, and I think how wonderful Krishna is, that he comes completely subordinate to the order of his devotee, I cry, and it's tears to my eyes." And Lord Chaitanya reached down and picked up the Brahmana and held him in tight embrace. He said, "You are real Lord of Bhagavad Gita." Because he knows the essence of Bhagavad Gita. This is the essence. This is the culmination. This is what is the essence to be extracted from the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji man namaskaru. Mami vaishasi satyam te patiche ne priyosi ne. Krishna says that, "Man mana bhava, always worship me. Always offer your homages unto me. And render service to me, and surely you will come to me and bow down before me." So Krishna is saying this verse is the actually the essence of Lord Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita, to always think of Krishna. The next verse is a well known verse. Sarva Dhamma Pradita Dhyama Nikam Shadana Praja Aham Tam Sarva Papiga Bhokshishami Mahasuchaha. Krishna says, "Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear." So it is explained that Krishna speaks this verse in Bhagavad Gita right after the previous verse, because when Krishna is saying surrender to Arjuna, he's put all the components of that surrender in the previous verse. All the components of surrendering to Krishna means we surrender our minds to think of Krishna. When one sees something in his home, he thinks, "Oh, look at this leaf, or look at this flower." The tendency immediately is, we see a nice flower, "Oh, let me smell it." But what does the devotee see? He says, "Oh, look at this wonderful flower. Let me offer it to Krishna." Sometimes people will do that. They're walking out in the streets, they see a very beautiful flower. They pick it, and they bring it, and give it to Gopi Balam. Sometimes they bring a whole bouquet of flowers. Sometimes they bring, by the grace of the host, she brings so many flowers sometimes for the deities. But it's the, whatever one brings, whatever one offers, the what Krishna wants to see, what Gopi Balava wants to see is, you're bringing it for him. You don't want to enjoy it. And he doesn't need it. Why does he possibly need a flower if the whole cause of manifestation, as we explained in the beginning, already belongs to him? Then what is this flower in comparison to the whole cause of manifestation? What is this little glass of water in comparison to the whole cosmic manifestation? But, just as we said, when one offers, or when one decorates one's face in the mirror, simultaneously his reflection is decorated. Simply, when one gives something to Krishna, Krishna is very eager to ornament his devotee as well. What is the most beautiful ornament for the devotee? What is that sadhu bhushana, that ornament that is so decorative, that ornament is the devotee's humility. Tikshava karunika. I forgot the verse. Excuse me. Sadhava sadhu bhushana. The verse that describes the qualities of the ornaments of the devotee, that he's humble, that he's tolerant. He's a jata shastru. He has a jata shatru. He has no enemies. He's friendly towards everyone. He is always humble. And everything is like, these are all the ornaments of a sadhu. The most beautiful ornament of a devotee is that he is humble and he wants to offer everything to satisfy the Lord. That the Lord considers that quality of humility and selfless dependence and service as like the most valuable ornament. That's what Krishna sees. He doesn't see the big fanfare, the big offering, the big, no. Although we should offer it if we have it within our possession. We should offer everything. But if one cannot offer something very big, even if he offers something what appears to be very small, Krishna takes that offering and magnifies it. Just like the story of Sudama Brahma, who had nothing. He was living in poverty. His wife was urging him, why don't you go see your friend Krishna? He can give you anything that you want. And Sudama Brahma was thinking, no, I don't want to go. And the wife was pushing him, no, you should go. And said, you can't go empty handed. So she immediately went next door and she begged some few grains of broken rice and said, here, take this. Right? You all know the story. What Sudama went to. He was the whole way, he was feeling embarrassed. Why should I go? I don't want to ask Krishna for anything. But he feeling obliged to the words of his wife, who was so caring for him, he still went anyways. But when he went there, he didn't want to say anything to Krishna. But Krishna, immediately he understood, because the Brahmin was meditating on Krishna all the way. He was thinking how wonderful it will be simply to see Krishna, his beautiful face. And he all the whole way he was just simply absorbed in deep meditation upon his friend Krishna. And then when Krishna saw him approaching, he said, oh, what have you got there? Oh, he didn't want to show it. Didn't even want to show it, but Krishna snatched it right out of his hands. You should know that this quantity of rice is sufficient to satisfy the entire creation. Krishna was so eager to accept it. And Rukmini at the time, she was fanning Krishna, and she stopped Krishna. She was one of the goddesses of fortune. She was thinking, well, if Krishna eats any more of this rice in this one grain, then I'll have to give everything. She said, everything to this Brahman. So she tried to stop him. Don't think any more of Krishna. So eager to accept. He takes right from the hands of his devotee. And the same explanation is given in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, also when Lord Chaitanya took the rice from the hands of Shukumar Brahmacharya. And it's described that when the Lord wants to take something from the hands of the devotee, he may sometimes even take it even before the devotee offers it. That's how eager he is to have something from the hand of his devotee. And the devotee is so pleased, so satisfied. And the Lord is so pleased. So these are all simple examples of help us at least to understand the importance of putting in that little special ingredient in everything that we do. We should try to do it to please Krishna. Whatever small offering that we make, whatever large offering that we make, we should try every day to do something that will please the Lord. Keeping a house and keeping a home, a deity of the Lord. Offer your food to the Lord. Offer, even if it's a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water. Offer the holy name to the Lord. Krishna is very pleased. when he hears his holy name being chanted, he really is, he says, Naham Vaikuntha, Naham Tishtami Vaikunti, Yogi Nam Vidyeshuva, Tatva Tishtami Narada, Yasta Gayanti Madhvakta. He says to Narada, he says, you'll not find me in the Vaikuntha planets, nor will you find me in the hearts of yogis, but wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, I go to that place. So eager. He personally goes. He says, if you want to find me, those yogis who are performing deep meditation are those, even in the Vaikuntha planets, where they don't have, where they don't serve me in such a personal way as they serve me in Vrindavan. So wherever my devotees are serving me in such a personal way by chanting my glories, in that place I will go, you will find me there. That's how much he's drawn by the love of his devotee. So whether we're chanting, whether we're offering leaf, flower, fruit or water, we should do it and offer it for the Lord's pleasure. This is the essence of this verse of Bhagavad Gita. And now it's time for Radha Gopi Balava to have their offering in the form of arti. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.